Well, hey guys, this is Joey Ann Ray with Senior Marketing Specialist, and this is A Human Connection. I have been extraordinarily blessed over my career to meet some really fascinating and successful people, and I get to now bring those conversations to you. So I hope that we can all learn and grow from each other. I hope you enjoy. I've talked with every type of person from every type of this industry, from carrier reps who have made it to the top of the corporate ladder, if you will, to agents serving our public, serving our seniors, sitting across the table, helping our seniors, to other folks like me who kind of work in that in-between, that FMO model of bridging the carriers with the agents together. And today I am very honored to be able to bring to you someone that I've admired and looked up to for many years. She goes by lots of titles and wears lots of hats, from mom to grandma to CEO to partner, queen of the bundle, whatever you want to call her. But most people know her as friend, which is how I relate to Galen the most. So please welcome Galen Hendricks.
Thank you. This is so exciting.
So Galen and I get
to do this.
Yeah. I'm super excited to be able to bring you to everybody, whether you're in this industry or not. Galen will have so many little words of wisdom that that everybody will pick up on throughout our 20 or 30 minute conversation here, which for Galen and I to have a 20 or 30 minute conversation is going to be a little tough. We'll try to limit it to that. So as I've mentioned on other podcasts, this is not about business. This is not a how to get successful, how to get rich, how to write more business podcast at all. I leave that to the experts in that arena. What I want this type of messaging and this type of conversation to be, Galen, is simply literally the name, the connection of the human side of this business. People get to see the front end side of so much success that you've had and other people like you have had. I want to tear that down and get to the days that you wanted to quit, the days that you thought maybe this wasn't the road for you, and what made you decide to keep going. I want to talk about obviously raising a family and building a business at the same time. How do you do that? We've all tried to lean on each other over the years and figuring out how to best.
You know the answer to that?
Please. Do I? No, I have no idea. We just made it somehow. but let's start with a little bit for those that maybe aren't as familiar with you, Galen. Give us a quick little bio, where you came from and what you're doing today.
Well, thank you. 37 years this May in this business. And just incredibly blessed on the road here. But as you know, you and I've talked about it a lot. It wasn't always easy, but I think anything worth having is never going to be easy. And I think that's one of the things you and I have in common. You know, I never expected myself here. I think that that's what's so great about it, is that I never take one single day for granted. There have been lots of hard days. Lots of times that you did want to quit. But I think what I'm most proud of is that I do get to be a female CEO. I do get to work with a lot of different kinds of people. You know, I've really learned how to put my own opinions aside and really listen as I've gotten older. And I think one of those most challenging things that women go through is the guilt factor. And I went through a lot of that in my life. I tell you, I still struggle with it. You know, I look and see things that my son says, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I tried to be there for everything. Mm-hmm. But I think the hardest climb up is, you know, some of the things that you have to endure. Some of the things you have to hear about yourself that you know are not true, and you have to just go, okay, so what? Move on. And it, when our mothers used to tell us, it builds character. You know, I'm not sure I believed it when I heard it. I certainly believe it now. Yeah. But I think the proudest title that I have currently is grandmother. You know, I didn't get to be around my grandparents for very long. Both my grandmothers, I did, but not my grandfathers. I never met them. My one grandfather met me when I was 6 weeks old and died the week after. Mm. So never got that pleasure. So I think being a grandmother and being at this stage in my life, people always ask me like they do you. I know they do because I've heard it. You know, you have to be so proud of yourself. And I think the thing I'm most proud of is that I'm at a place in my life where I can breathe and I can take in these moments and really enjoy them. And I posted today on Facebook something that just said, you know, you'll never get enough time with your children. You know, you'll never get those times back. So enjoy those. And so, you know, I mean, I guess the best thing about this career is it's still going. And I am still going, you know,
right. So we're still going.
Yes. And just very humbled by the people I get to be around.
Yeah. So tell everybody a little bit about your agency there and what you guys concentrate on, a little bit about your staff. And I know a lot of staff is family, family is staff. And I love that. That's, we're a very family business industry. Yes. But tell us a little bit about what your agency does and then what that dynamic is like of taking your work home and how do you not take your work home?
Wow. That's lovely. So obviously, Senior Security Benefits is the name of our company. It was founded in 2001, but we opened the storefront, my husband and I did, in 2003. We had joined with another gentleman. And in 2004, one of the best family I could have ever asked for is Taylor Martin. And I had hired him in the business. At another company. He always says I was smarter than he was. I left sooner than he did. But we joined back up in 2004. And in about 6 months, I just started looking at him and I was like, it's kind of crazy for him to work as an agency director under the FMO I had. We need to be partners. We just have a great relationship. Let's be a partnership. And so I had partners on the underage 65 health insurance side, and I had Taylor on the senior market side. And for a long time, we worked both businesses and still do. And a lot of people would be like, how do you do both? Yeah. And I think that was our sustainer. We always kind of flew under the radar. I'll never forget Mike White, who you and I both respect a lot, mm-hmm. telling me that's probably the smartest thing you ever did. And I said, you know, I think it was, but I didn't intend to do that. Yeah. I really intended to fly to the top. Sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. But I think the thing that I credit our business model with the most is we've always been consistent. Yeah. And, I like that about us. Yeah. Family. Started out with the husband, and I'll just tell you, we had done that stint years before, and I swore I would never do it again. And we basically had a conversation that was, I'm the boss at work, and when we get home, you can be the boss. And that's kind of how we've always done it. People in my circle don't believe that because they think I'm just this force to reckon with. But as you know, I'm really not confrontational. I think I come off that way because I will fight for those I care for and I will fight for what's right and I'll fight for those I love. But I'm pretty much non-confrontational. And so we just had that arrangement. And then Taylor and I have always had just such a great working relationship. He's called me work wife for years. Yeah. I told him, you're finally starting to look my age. I'm just kidding. But, you know, we've had a really good relationship and partnerships just don't last. And I've been very blessed. I've been married this April. I'll be married 36 years. Wow. And Taylor and I just celebrated 20 years together. Wow. And so, you know, I've got an employee that's been with me since 1987. Wow. It's followed me everywhere I've gone. So I'm really blessed with relationships. But our first rule that we made when my daughter-in-law started working in the business in 2005. She started working in the business even before she was my daughter-in-law. They got married in 2008. They have a beautiful son and daughter, which have made me a grandmother. And but I'm very, very proud of her and Sean. I mean, they had a baby very young. They got married very young. And they, like all married couples, started working together in 2010, which is not like all married couples. But they got to watch Dan and I, how we did it. And they got to see us get really mad about something. But our rule has always been make up quick. Mm-hmm. And my husband came from a family that didn't do that. Shauna will tell you she came from a family that didn't do that, but she does that now. And she'll even say my son has a little harder time forgiving than she does now. She got it in gear.
She got that figured out.
Yeah. And then, you know, recently I had to remind everybody, you know what? Work is over at 5 o'clock. Unless it's urgent or somebody is just going to die if we don't get them an answer, which is not ever. We're just not going to talk about it after five, because I started watching my grandchildren. They would come up into a conversation with us and work would start. And you would watch them just slowly start to bow out.
Yeah.
And that was heartbreaking for me. And I just literally asked them all. I was like, you know, I don't really want to talk about work after five. I don't want to be uncomfortable where I'm supposed to be the most comfortable, and that's my home. And I don't want you guys feeling that either. So we have made an effort, especially since last August, to just really make that a rule. And it'll happen every now and then because we're not perfect, but we really try to keep that out. And Taylor and I have the same rule. We don't really talk after 5 o'clock about business because we're really good friends. We do a lot socially. We've gone all over the world on wine trips, and he introduced me to wine, which I don't know if is a good thing or a bad thing. My heart is certainly healthy. I will say that. But you know, we just have a really good friendship, like I do. And you do too, Joanne, with most of the people I work with. I will say that my circle, my dad used to say, your five closest friends are on this hand, the one you shake hands with, the ones you hug with. But I've been incredibly blessed because my best friends are people I've known since first grade. Yeah. One of them I've known since I was a year old. Yeah. And my family and people I work with. And I'm just incredibly blessed to have friends like you that I get to call family. You know, it's just an absolute blessing. And that's why you and I, we have that hard time of not talking business with friends, because right. they intertwine.
Right.
But I'm really trying to make a conscientious effort of not doing that at yeah. this stage in my life.
So many things there. I want to kind of back up and unpack a little bit. One, you talked about just the longevity of not only of you in this business, but people within your circle and within your company. And that's very, very rare. And I think we talk about that a lot being rare, but, and I don't have the statistic pulled up in front of me, but when we celebrate it as a company, we have a parent company and then we have a brokerage side mm-hmm. and a captive side. And our parent company was started in 1978. So when we celebrated our 40th, the company's on its 47th year now. Dan McNerney at the time was still here, and he was talking about, and he actually found the statistic of what the percentage is of a business of any size, doesn't matter, but most family businesses, which is, you know, probably 70% of the businesses out there are family run, family owned, what the percentage is of having a successful transition to the next group. It was very low. And then having a second successful succession was even much lower. And it just keeps getting lower and lower. And we've continued to prove that from a leadership standpoint, anyway, we've made 3 to 4 transactions now of being able to keep that same love and the why. You know, Simon Sinek is one that I love to follow and read his stuff. And and his book, you know, you got to find the why in your business. And then everything else just kind of is a much easier decision. So just hats off for the longevity of not just the business itself and everything that the business has gone through. You think about our industry and how tied we are to really a lack of control. The end product that we get to sell is controlled by so many factors, from Washington, D.C. to legislative, to economics, to the carriers, to compliance, to all the things that we really don't get our hands involved in too much or have any control over. So the fact that our business has continued to grow and continued to be okay during all those transactions, all the craziness that happens in Washington, all the changes that happen within a carrier, carriers come, carriers go. But it's this stability that we've been able to have in this marketplace is, you know, I said, we're not going to talk about business much today on this, but I think it has to be noted that, you know, the 70 plus years of the combined companies here, and I've heard you say it 1,000 times too, and where I feel like we're just getting started.
Exactly.
Right? And both
that,
of us.
That expression gets used a lot, right? Amongst us and our partnership, obviously with Integrity, but you know, Dan McNerney, oh my gosh, we could do a 30-minute podcast on Dan. you know, God led me to Dan McNerney, and I've told him that for years. Yeah. You know, and he'll say, I actually felt led to you because I want to know about all this call center stuff you were doing. Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm a person of faith, as you know, and I don't go around beating the drum and try to tell people how to live their life, but I've seen it work so much in my life. I did an interview yesterday and a guy said, so you were basically persecuted. And I was like, wow, I got to think about that one. I've heard that before, yeah, but I didn't really
context.
And you know, I think what's really interesting about family business is that how they stand behind you. You know, they are going to be the first ones. And that's why I call it family, because I look at you as that family. Like you're the mama of that organization.
Yeah.
I'm the mama of this organization. And I shared with you a story yesterday about a kid that was giving me just credit for success he had last year, which I was incredibly humbled by and grateful for him sharing that with me. But the part that got me that I really struggle with saying without crying is he was like, I didn't have a mom like you. Aww. And I look at you as a mother figure. Yeah. And I've gotten that a lot in my career. And I'm so incredibly blessed to have had a good mother. You and I've talked about this before, mm-hmm. too, having good parents. I shared with you not too long ago that one of the questions I ask in an interview is, who is your first advisor? And if they don't tell me their parents, I immediately ask them what they learned from their parents. Because I think that's so important in a foundation.
Yeah.
And when I look at y'all's foundation, you had somebody at the helm that genuinely cares about people. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I want to be known for. I asked my son not too long ago when I was struggling with some things. COVID did a number on me because I, as you know, I love people. And I can do without food and I can do without wine. I can't do without people.
Yeah.
And I started finding myself in a place that I hadn't been at since I was 17 years old. And it was when I was just kind of losing my way. And I had a very good mentor at the time that said, hey, go get some therapy. You need to know that you're as good as I know you are.
Right.
And I said, what do you mean by that? And she says, you don't have any self-esteem. Well, mm-hmm. I tell that to people now and they're like, what? Because people think I'm walking by talking box of confidence. And last year, I literally found myself just struggling and really trying to figure out what I needed to do and what I wanted to do. And I finally realized that I wanted to be a trailblazer, but not just in business. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be that in my family, that when I leave this earth, and I don't care what anybody says, once you hit 50, you start thinking about leaving this earth. And when you lose a parent young, like I did at 52, you start thinking about it at 32. And one of the things, my son came over and he says, "Why aren't you answering your phone? No one can get a hold of you." And I was like, "I guess I fell asleep and turned it off. I don't know." And he said, "Mom, that's scary." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, he noticed." And the thing that scared me is the fact that I was excited he noticed. I was like, "Okay, I need to go talk to somebody." But he said something to me. I said, "I don't want you to see me as just a boss or the CEO of Senior Security Benefits. I want to be seen as your mom. I know I worked your whole entire life, but I just need to know what you think." And he said, "Mom, you're my mom." And he said, "And you're a trailblazer. You have done things that other people have not done. And I'm proud of you, but answer your dadgum phone." Another word. I'm keeping it clean. You know, at that moment, I realized that guilt I had built up for years,
right,
was in this.
Yeah.
It wasn't in anybody else's. So, you know, anybody that's listening, that's trying to do it all and is saying, "I can't." Well, first of all, can't doesn't exist in my vocabulary. You need to remember that you can do anything you want to do. And life is about balance, but it's not always going to be perfect.
Yeah. There's a there's a picture to your, let's see, left shoulder that says "Choose Joy" that I have. I have mm-hmm. that exact same thing in my office. And one of the other wonderful benefits that you and I have gotten to share recently is to be asked to be on the Women in Leadership mm-hmm. panel with Ann Wood. And one of the questions, as I was preparing for that, it was a lot about balance and a lot about raising a family, raising a company, building a business, building a family, you know, and just when you think you're like doing pretty good at both or at one or the other, something will kind of slap you in the face, right? Mm-hmm. So as I was preparing for that interview and Ann had sent me some of the questions that she wanted to ask, I answered them as from my perspective with my glasses on. And I'm like, you know what? I think I should ask my kids. They're all adults now.
That's awesome.
So I kind of did the same thing as you did of having the guilt or the fear. Who do they see me as? My kids don't work here in the company, but they see me working
all the time.
They have all the time. And so I went to them. They're all in their 20s, oldest just turned 30. And I went to them and I just asked, I said, "Hey, I'm being interviewed tomorrow and I'm supposed to talk about what a wonderful job I've done at balancing work life, home life, mom life balance. And I just kind of would like to know, like, what's your grade? Like, how would you grade me?" And they all had funny, silly, you know, answers. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I loved what all three of them said in a little bit of a different way. "Mom, you always were happy. You obviously loved your job." I don't, you know, they couldn't today, you know, even being adults and been around this their whole life, talk, they couldn't probably tell you exactly what I do or what our company does, mm-hmm. but they know that I love going to work and they know that I love coming home. And mm-hmm. that was always the trigger for me. And that's what I said in the interview with Ann, is if I could give any advice to young moms and dads, both exactly the same advice today, is if you're trying to figure that out, is love what you do and make sure they see that. If all you talk about when you talk about work is bad, negative, complaining, "I don't want to go, I hate it there, I hate this," then your kids are going to see that that's what work is.
That's
if
right.
If you get up each day and you choose joy, like that sign says behind mm-hmm. you, and you do, I don't have to choose it. I love what I do. And some days it's, you know, I don't skip into work. Maybe I got to kick it into gear a little bit higher, but I thought that was a really good realization. And I was very proud that my kids all noticed that whatever it is you're doing, you seem to love what you're doing and you always seem to be happy to come home too. So that was a win for me in my column.
Well, and you exhibit that. And I remember when I was talking to, you know, I always call him McNerney. I don't think I've ever called Dan Dan. I always call him McNerney. But when we first started visiting, he said, "You've got to meet Joanne." And I said, "Okay." And he had just built you up to like this amazing, just not employee, but amazing person. And I can't remember what it was for, but I remember being at a dinner and I think Victor Castellanos was there. I think that was the first time I met Victor.
Yeah.
And I spotted you and I said, "Hey, I've got to go meet her." And I beelined over there and I remember thinking, "Oh my gosh, she and I could be sisters." It's like when I read the Reba McEntire autobiography. Yeah. I thought, we are going to be friends. She doesn't know it yet, but we are. She still doesn't know it, but they call that
stalking, Gayla.
Yes. But you know, I was first row in Vegas not too long ago and I know she knows what I look like now.
Okay.
So I've made some progress. But I beelined to you, and what I was most attracted to you about was you were laughing and you were smiling and you were happy. And my son, to give you a little replay on that, so this has been about 5 years ago. I always walk in, and my biggest pet peeve is when I say good morning, because I'm a happy person in the morning, and nobody says it back. It really ticks me off. And I will get in their face and say good morning to the point now they know.
Say it.
Yeah. But anyway, I walked in one day and he wasn't having, I guess, the best day, or he might have been having a fine day. But he goes, "Not everybody can be Richard Simmons in the morning. Not everybody is ready to go, 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 go." And I was like, "Richard Simmons?
That's a terrible one."
That's who he's talking about. And I'm like, "Oh my goodness." I mean, well, you know, if everybody's going to get up and do aerobics, yeah, that might not be what we want. But hello. But I thought that was kind of a good sign, because I was like, at least he knows I'm happy in the morning. Yeah. But his whole life, him and his dad would say, "Not everybody's ready for the cheer you give in the first thing in the morning." Yeah, I think that's what attracts women, is happy people.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what you and I have the most in common when we're at conferences or trip conventions. I always see women come to us.
Yeah.
We're gonna have fun. That's the biggest compliment.
We're gonna have fun wherever we go.
That's right.
And that's what I've always said. I've always told my team too, as far as, you know, my plans of stepping back or stepping away or slowing down a little bit is when this stops being fun, I will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love going to the stuff. Obviously, it's been limited over the last couple of years, so I may change my tune when everything opens back up. But I look forward to going somewhere. I always look at who's on the attendee list, and I'm so excited when I see Gaylin or anybody that, you know, I know you're going to have a friend there. And I think that's, you know, if they're giving advice here to young folks or anybody looking at changing careers, go where you find people that you like to be around. I cannot imagine. And my husband did it for 30 years in retail. He was in retail management his entire career and always went to a place of work where he always had friends, but he was never appreciated for his work by division manager, you know, whatever, wherever.
It's a numbers game.
Retail is a numbers game, and it's not even in numbers. You and I look at the end of each week or end of each month or each quarter. They're looking hour by hour. And in the store, if the store isn't producing X right now, Mark had to send somebody home, you know, right now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just such a different world. I'm not saying all retail is bad, but it's definitely wherever you choose to go and spend your 8, 9, 10 hours a day. I sure hope you do it next to people that you appreciate and appreciate you and you have fun with. We're all here to work hard and get something done and accomplish things and impact as many people as we can while we're here. But my God, if you're not having fun, I can't imagine this industry or any industry. I don't think you'd get the longevity like we've had.
You don't. And I love what you just said there, because when I made the decision to leave the place that Taylor said I was smarter at, It's the first time ever I never discussed it with my husband. It was kind of a Ross and Rachel moment. The guy brings me in and he's like, hey, I think we need to take a break. Yeah. And I want you to come back in like 3 months, but I need to get some things taken care of here. And I was like, no, I think it's time.
Yeah.
It's time for me to move on. And I called Dan from the Home Depot parking lot. Of course, I'm crying and he's not knowing what happened. And I'm like, well, I have a plan and I'm going to be in business tomorrow. I already got financing. It's already ready to go. He goes, you quit? I mean, he was trying to understand what I did and all this stuff. But when I finally got it all laid out, I sat down with him and Sean at the dinner table. And I think that's another thing about our family. We had dinner intentionally together every night. Mm-hmm. Even if I had to go back to the office, because you and I didn't always have the luxury of working from home.
Yeah.
So I might have dinner with them. I might get Sean in the bathtub, in the bed, and go back to the office to finish up or go really early the next morning. But I remember telling the two of them at this dinner, it was about a week later, where I said, look, here's the two rules. And this is what we're going to have in this business from this day forward. And Sean at the time was probably 14, maybe 15. And I said, we are going to practice the golden rule. And I am going to live it. I'm going to love it. And I'm going to laugh every day. And if I don't have a good time, I'll go find something else to do because I'm a hard worker. I can get a job doing anything, anywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be in something I'm not happy in any longer. I'm not going to dread Monday any longer. And I tell people that I worked with over the years this story, and they were like, we didn't know you dreaded Monday. I was like, well, because, you know,
fake it.
Responsible for those people. You know, I feel responsible for their happiness. And, you know, a while back, somebody said, you know, being a people pleaser is not a good thing. And I said, I disagree. I think that's one of my qualities, that I want to please people. And I think the fact that I want people to be happy to be around me is a quality, especially in a people business. Right. And honestly, I told somebody the other day, I can't think of one single business that's not a people business.
Yeah.
That sales is not involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Any business you're in, ultimately, sales is there. And I think what makes salespeople happy, you know, Bob Saget just recently died.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a part of me, because your kids kind of grew up like mine did. Yeah. TGIF was a big deal. Yeah. I mean, you know, we were having our chili dogs and watching, you know, Mary-Kate and Ashley and, you know, hanging with Mr. Cooper. I can tell you the whole lineup.
Yeah.
Taylor says, I have a memory like a hawk. And I honestly do, unless you put me on the pressure pot. But I think what happens is that, you know, you look at comedians and Robin Williams, mm-hmm. they're hilarious and they're funny on the outside, but they're full of pain on the inside.
Right.
And I think salespeople have a lot of that. I've mm-hmm. seen a lot of that in my life. I've seen a lot of guys come in just, you think they've just got everything going on and they've got perfect marriage and perfect wife and perfect 2.2 kids and, you know, money out the wazoo when I was growing up in this business. And you just think, man, if I could just have what they have, man, I would appreciate it and I would be so happy. And I remembered the very first time I started making really good money. And I was like, I'm not really any happier than I was today than I was yesterday. Maybe more secure, but not happier.
Yeah.
And I think it goes with appreciation. I worked with so many people that appreciated my friendship because, you know, I made friends with just everybody I worked with. And, you know, it's funny, you and I have known each other for 100 years, it seems like, and our husbands just met. And I remember Taylor going, they're just like you. They're like, and I think about that. I think you have to have that dynamic in marriage.
Yeah.
If I married me, I would probably drive me as crazy as I can some days, you know, and vice versa.
Yeah.
But at the end, I think that's what makes life work. Yeah. You know, you've got that person that's always got your back.
Yeah.
going to hold you accountable. And you see it. I mean, you saw me and Taylor's seen it forever. I mean, Dan and I are just real and raw and unplugged. And we say what we say. We think what we think. And our kids have seen that. And of course, I'm the mother of an only child, but I always say our kids, because when Shauna married Sean, she became my daughter. And I know you feel that way about your family too. And I think that that's the best gift of all, is when you can look at your family and you're like, I really like them. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's days I don't, but they don't like me on certain days either. Yeah. And we don't like ourselves on some days.
Yeah.
But that's just called life. And I think sometimes that's the thing that misses in this big wide world. And I blame social media for a lot of it. I think this part of social media is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that, I mean, can you imagine if you called Zig Ziglar's office and said, hey, I want to interview Zig Ziglar. He can do it virtually. I mean, because I saw him teach Sunday school and I was starstruck. I can't even tell you what the Sunday school lesson was about, because I was just zeroed in on Zig.
Wow, yeah. He's a big hero around here.
Oh, my gosh. Zig Ziglar, Elvis Presley, Gene Simmons. Those are probably, well, Reba. Those are probably the only four people that I'm starstruck by.
Yeah.
Because they're business people.
Yeah.
You know, they're people.
They've had to be.
Oh, my gosh. They're people that loved people.
Yeah.
But they were business people.
Yeah.
I think that that is, you know, what you and I get to do every day. We get to talk to people that we admire from afar and, you know, and they become our friends. And I one day told, well, this is hilarious, so I'll throw it out there for these people. Because I told Anthony Chapman the other day, if you're not funny, you're not in the money. Because people want to be around people that make them laugh.
Yeah.
But I had always told my son and my granddaughter, that I was going to marry Elvis, but he up and died and it didn't happen. So one day she's in school and the teacher, who's also a good friend, is talking about Elvis Presley, and Haven is raising her hand. Miss Denise. And she's like, what, Haven? And she says, my grandmother was going to marry Elvis. You know, my grandmother. And she's like, well, I think I would know that. And she was my age, so she knows. And so I talked to her like a couple of weeks later when I go to pick up Haven, and she's like, yeah, interesting story. I was like, what? She goes, your granddaughter thinks you were going to marry Elvis. So your children and grandchildren just listen to what you say. And
she also thinks Reba McEntire is your best friend too. So you've led her down a path, Galen.
I'm going to have to bring you home and go, I brought home Reba.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Well, obviously if all of you are listening who were not familiar with Galen before, obviously now know why the world loves Galen Hendricks, and we could spend hours and hours and hours visiting and laughing, which I want to do again very, very soon. Galen and I sit on a lot of good panels and committees and groups and text chains, and both being a part of the Integrity family now has brought us together, even more reasons to get together. So I look forward to those. But I appreciate everybody joining in today. I appreciate you, Galen, taking some time out of your very busy schedule, and just love you to pieces. So hope you have a great day. Thanks, guys.
You too. Bye, everybody. Thanks.